Today's episode of the Not That Great Podcast is available wherever you find podcasts. You already know that. You're listening. But we're also on Facebook and on Instagram, at Not That Great on Facebook, at Not That Great Pod on Instagram. Not a lot on the Instagram feed page. But, you know, it's one of the things we're trying to turn around over here, get some more participation there, stuff like that. So follow us, and if you enjoy listening to us talk about nonsense and sports and whatnot, then drop us 5-star reviews and follow us on your podcast platforms and, you know, just interact. Send us questions on the Facebook page and we'll answer them on the air. You have a question that's been haunting you for however long. I just have to know what you guys think about X, Y, or Z. We'll answer. It won't be a phenomenal answer, I bet, but it'll be at the level of quality you come to expect from this fine sports related program. Today's show, I'm not on it, so you don't have to listen from here forward. But if you like them round ball, if you like that them hoops, Al Brown, Andrew Coleman, chopping it up. One of my favorite phrases, chopping it up about approaching the All-Star break in the NBA. A little bit of talk about how it's stupid to have the All-Star game. I believe after these guys recorded, it was announced that there would not be an All-Star game. And that's probably the right... it's definitely the right call. I'm pretty sure I saw that somewhere. Did I lie about that? Now I have to, like, research, look this up while I'm recording this intro. I'm pretty sure that I saw something that said that there was not going to be an All-Star game. But I guess that... I don't know. It's supposed to be on March 7th, which is in a couple weeks here. I don't think it's a good idea to have it. I guess it's a fine line. It's one thing if, you know, because they're playing all these regular season games. But, like, the All-Star game is an exhibition. It's not, you know, necessary or whatever. You can still name All-Stars and then just not play the game. You know? Who cares? Yeah, that's how I feel about that. Let's not have an All-Star game. Let's just name the All-Stars. And this doesn't seem like the players really want to play an All-Star game. So don't. How about that? Just don't do it. Real easy. They're going through with all of the accoutrement as well. So, skills challenge, dunk contest, 3-point. It's odd. It seems short-sighted on the NBA's part, and they're usually fairly a players' league. So hopefully cooler heads prevail, or smarter heads, or whatever you want to call it. They talk about a bunch of other stuff, too. There's a Giannis take that I don't know if I agree with. Al Brown and Andy Coleman kind of say that Giannis is at his peak. I guess I could agree with that as far as him playing in Milwaukee. I think they propose a couple places he could go that maybe could help him flourish a little bit more as a player. It's an interesting take, and you're going to hear it right now. Al Brown, Andrew Coleman, talking hoops at the All-Star break on this Tuesday. They recorded this yesterday. I'm recording this on Tuesday morning, so if you're in the ice outside, be safe. If you're without power, sorry. Hope it comes back soon. This storm and this winter is being stupid. We're all probably hopefully inside anyway, as much as possible. So stay safe out there. Wear a mask. All that good stuff. And listen to some hoops talk. We got it for you right now. An hour. These guys could talk for hours and hours about hoops. That's why they come here. They come to the premier sports and recreation fat guy podcast on the internets. So let's listen to them get into it. Moose is in the house. It's all about hoops. Let's go.
Make it a double, I can take it another. Gets so hard to chase it, live up to. Yeah, it slides away when you're running. Like my Uncle David, who never lived to escape it. The trouble you were about to cave in. Give up to talking in your basement.
And welcome to another edition of the Not That Great Podcast. I'm Al Brown, joined by Mr. Andrew Coleman. Sir, how are you?
Good afternoon. Pleasant Monday. Happy.
Yeah, I don't even know what. Yeah, I don't even know what day of the week it is anymore. So we're going to be doing a little recap, or should I say predictions, for the NBA All-Star Game, East and West. I'm not even really sure why they're having an All-Star Game this year, considering everything that's going on. I mean, we all know why. It's money, obviously. But potentially one of the most reckless All-Star Games being held in recent memory, or any memory, probably. So Andrew and I are going to break this down, East and West, starters, reserves, why they're in. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about some people that we've snubbed, or we could just get it, end up getting into a huge fight if we have radically different lineups. Oh, yeah. We're not ruling anything out. So we'll start with the East. And you can either like agree or tell me to bump the brakes, and we'll talk about why I'm potentially wrong. I will admit my picks in the East are a little bit more petty. There are two obvious names that I've left out because I don't fucking like them, even though they probably will get voted in. But we'll get to that. So East starting lineup for me. So it's not center, power forward, small forward. It's just front court these days. So for my three front court players, I have Kevin Durant. Agreed?
No.
No?
No.
Wow. Okay. So, So Kevin Durant.
I don't think he's earned the starting vote this year. He hasn't played enough.
I mean, he's played most of their games, right? He hasn't missed extended time like Kyrie has. Has he? Am I just not aware of that?
Yeah, he's missed quite a few games. And I honestly think a lot of his stats and everything he's done so far this year is just because of the cause of the team, not particularly his own performance. So I think there's more deserving players for that starting nod.
Okay. All right. So one of the interesting things that I have written down about Durant here is that, so he's averaging 29 points, 7 boards, 5 assists after not playing basketball for a whole year. I think he's the best offensive weapon on a team that is completely bloated on offense. And according to basketballreference.com, this is almost identical to his last season with the Thunder in 2015-2016 season, which was 28-8-5. So like that's pretty incredible. But here's my next one. You probably may not have him on here as well. This is more of like a personal pick for me. Bam Adebayo.
No.
Nope.
No.
Okay. So Bam, and I'll give you my Bam take. 6'9", 255 pounds, and he can guard any position 1 through 5. He patrols the paint like he's an apex predator, and he's an excellent passer, which fits so perfectly with all the shooters and great ball movement and cutters and stuff that they have. And I don't have the stat right in front of me, but I believe he's, as far as big man, he's second in assists per game right behind Jokic. I think Domantas Sabonis is right up there as well. I'm not entirely certain on that one. And then my final front court spot is Joel Embiid.
That's the one we agree on.
Okay, that's the one we agree on.
We got one. I mean,
so, I mean, it's kind of...
Bam is an all-star, but not a starter.
Which I'm fine with. I would imagine that you had Giannis instead of him.
I mean, how can you not? I mean, the Bucks without Giannis, I mean, the Bucks are nothing. You know, he's the number two player in the game right now.
So yep. No, I mean,
did not put him, and he shows up every game.
Yeah. Which I'm totally fine with. I feel like Bam or Giannis, are interchangeable.
I think Bam shoots better. So
he actually might. I mean, he keeps improving and improving and improving. So yeah. I think Bam is going to be a pain in the Boston Celtics' ass for quite some time, which I'm not super thrilled about.
Positionless, you know. So.
Because defensively, he is. Because no one can get by him. Yeah, it's insane. Like, when you're that huge and you can, shut down smaller, faster guards.
Yeah. Most of your guards are 6'6", to 6'9", all that small forward position. And now, the centers aren't what they used to be as far as Shaq size, obviously.
And he's so strong anyways. Like,
but he can move. Yeah, he reminds me a lot of the way Rodman played defensively. So
yeah. Yeah,
he really does. He brings out a lot of that tenacity on defense.
Yep. Toughness, length, strength. Technically, very capable on the defensive end.
Yeah, Giannis is not as, he's never really developed anything outside of a 6-foot shot. I know he's shooting the three this year, but it's more just because everybody's giving him the wide open shot. Nobody's even defending him. He gets no respect out of the 6-foot range.
Exactly.
So he's kind of a one trick pony, So I don't think he'll ever be in that top 50 NBA player conversation because he's never developed his game any further.
He really hasn't. And I mean, from all accounts, it's not as if he isn't trying to,
Yeah. It's just sometimes you just can't. He is what he is.
Yeah. I think
the
weirdest, and I don't have the stats in front of me. I should be more prepared, but whatever. We're not that great.
Exactly.
Basically, he's been getting worse year after year for like the last 4 or 5 years from free throw. He is shooting. I mean, he was usually around like mid to high 70s, but now I think he's like, 50% or something like that. That's just
63 right now.
63, which has definitely, it's an uptick over what it was, because I'm pretty sure he was real low. I mean, even still, 63 is terrible.
No,
like, actually, I'm sorry, you're the best player on that team. You've got to be hitting minimum. He should be hitting 75% of his free throws. Like, that's
he's the one getting fouled every game. I mean, exactly. He was up to 77% at one point. And then this year and last year, he's gone down to about 63. But the previous 5 years, he's in the 70s. He's almost up to 80.
I don't know what the hell happened. It's almost like he's trying to overcorrect it and it's fucking him up. Like, I don't know.
His rookie season, he shot 68%. This year, he shoots 63.
That's so weird.
And I honestly think he's regressing. I think he's already hit his ceiling in his plateau. The rest of the league,
they
let Giannis do his thing and then they beat the Bucks. Mm-hmm. That's how you beat the Bucks. Let Giannis do his thing, because then it isolates everybody else on the floor, and then you beat them in transition every single time. I think it was Milwaukee's poor decision not to sell high on Giannis. They really could have uploaded that team. Miami was willing to give them almost everything, so they should have took it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of like, it's hard to be like, throw away, well, not throw away, but like ship out the guy who's the two-time MVP. Like, it's just so hard. And I realize that, like, I mean,
his comparison is Russell Westbrook.
Like, honestly,
you're not gonna win with him. He's not gonna hurt you, but he's not gonna ever take you to that next level. But sooner or later, it's going to be a sharp cliff that you walk into. He's never going to take you to the promised land. The Thunder should have got rid of Westbrook, never Durant. So
Well,
you can build with Durant. You can't build with Westbrook because he owns the ball. He's one-dimensional.
Very
There's
ball
no
dominant.
Way to go with him.
And it was just, you know, everybody knew that was all going to end poorly. I mean, him from a physical standpoint, he's kind of fallen off a cliff because he's very much, and I've said it a million times, he's very much like Roy Jones Jr., you know, like when he was young and he was physically adept, he was so physically special that he could get away with a lot of his technical deficiencies. But now that he's lost a step, it's just not there.
He's lost about five of them now. I think he airballed a free throw yesterday.
So. I know. That was incredible.
But I mean, that was incredible. Giannis is, what, 26, 27?
Yeah.
This is it.
I think
Giannis at his ultimate level right now.
Probably.
This is it.
Probably.
So, you know.
And just out of so just so
what
we're
do with
we're
him?
Up to
Put
date.
Him on Dallas.
Oh.
Surround him with shooters, and he's effective. That is one good thing about Giannis. He doesn't have to play on ball. So But are you really gonna pay a guy who plays off ball and can only score layups and is, you know, great defensively, but is he worth $40 million? No. Not in the overall scheme, not if it's going to kill your team. That's what Milwaukee is starting to look at right now.
Yeah, potentially.
They're an actual better team without him. They space the floor better. They can't space the floor with Giannis.
Now, I mean, so just to push back on that a little bit, I mean, how much of that is Budenholzer, the coach? Because he really like
Chris Middleton, for Christ's sakes. How smart are they?
I mean, Chris Middleton's had a very solid season. He's actually one of my bench guys. We can get to him later.
But he's not a number two. If I'm building a championship team.
So yes, I guess considering the arms race that we have in the NBA with talent, yes, it is better if he's your number three than a number
Ray
two.
Allen, you know, he's a good shooter. He's great, but he's not going to lead that team.
I don't think he would ever be some sort of leader by any stretch of the imagination.
He's not a guy who's going to get you that 40-point night when everybody else is having a bad night. So to me, he's not a two. He's never going to – he'll contribute to the victory, but he's not going to be the reason.
I mean, he has either. Had one of those – at least one of those games against the Celtics. I know that for certain because I watched it. I couldn't
at
even –
this point.
Yeah, I know. We don't need to get into that.
Sadiq Bey had one the other night, so we'll see who it is this week.
Hey, Sadiq Bey's looking a lot better than Naismith, isn't he?
Well, I mean, who's Naismith?
Yeah, exactly.
Was he on the Monkees? Was he the drummer? Because that's the only time that guy's playing. I mean, he doesn't even fit Brad's scheme or rotation. I couldn't understand why they.
Yeah,
do
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
Cole Anthony was there for the taking.
Who's hurt right now?
Point guard.
Cole Anthony was really coming on. He was really coming on the last couple of weeks, and then he suffered a shoulder injury. But that he's shown real promise. I like Cole Anthony.
He's NBA ready.
He certainly looked like it leading up to this injury that's put him out. He's kind of day to day. I don't know how long he's going to be out, but of course he got injured as soon as I added him on my fantasy team. But anyways, who did you have in the front court instead of Kevin Durant?
So my front court is I got Embiid, Giannis, and I went hometown Tatum.
Tatum.
I think he deserves that starter spot.
Yeah, I have.
From last year to this year, I think he's earned that starting spot.
He's playing great. I mean, the team, unfortunately, is not playing great as a whole. But, I mean, he's 22 years old, averaging 26, 7, and 5. One thing that I think is really upticked with him is his playmaking. Sadly, it's more so out of necessity with all the time that like Kemba and Marcus Smart have spent out and how poorly Jeff Teague has played, especially recently.
He's abysmal.
And when Tatum's pull-up jumper, when clicking, is just one of the most like beautifully deadly shots I've seen in the game. It just sucks.
His inconsistency with his aggressiveness to the paint. He refuses to come inside sometimes, or he hesitates.
Yeah, which is weird.
It makes no sense because when he does that, Those are his phenomenal games. That's when he's a takeover player. When you see him shy away or hesitate like he did, you know, the other day, you can just forget about him.
Well, he's easily defended.
He's done.
I mean, that game specifically, I don't think is an appropriate sample size for.
No, just to show
either Jason yeah, or
no flow. He didn't want to be there.
That game was so pathetic. And I'm worried about the Celtics.
But for Tatum, he should have got up because his mentor is on the other side. If you remember the last game, him and Beal were trading shots.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Washington's a terrible team. Like, let's just face it. Outside of Beal,
that should have been a shootout between Tatum and Beal.
Yeah.
You know, that's an NBA thing right there. You know, you're going against your best friend and your mentor. Those guys always step up. It's like watching Luger and LeBron. Mm. You know, but Beal and Tatum didn't show up that day.
He did not. He really did not.
And Brad, forget it. That's all another story.
So I guess that segues in to my guards for this, my two starting guards. I made my East lineup really big. I don't have a traditional point guard at all. So I have Jaylen Brown and Bradley Beal as my guards.
We 100% agree.
Oh, awesome. So, unity. So I picked, Beal is leading the league with 33 points. How good are you? So that's a done deal. I mean,
he's the offensive weapon of the NBA right now.
Yeah. Right now. Absolutely. 100%. And Jaylen Brown, who I picked over James Harden, because I can't reward Harden. All of the bullshit. I don't care how well he's playing in Brooklyn. Fuck him. This is my list. So,
yeah. Him and Kyrie can go, you know, have a dice game during the All-Star game.
Fuck
him. Zero interest in either one of those people.
Completely 100% concur. So Jaylen is averaging 26 points with a true shooting percentage of 60, which is like, that's really good.
No hesitation. He's aggressive and he's consistent every night. Yep. He's the one handling on the Celtics right now.
I totally agree.
He's the one.
His ball handling, his defense, his ability to create his own shot, especially attacking the rim. He's been consistently outstanding, even despite this underwhelming 500 team.
And the development that you've seen him work into his game over the last 3 years, he makes, you know, giant upgrades. He had that 1 year step back with Kyrie, but Kyrie left, Hayward's gone.
Yep.
You know, I think this solidifies the validation of the Celtics moving on from Hayward. I think that was a real big boost for Brown's confidence and allowed him to, you know, showcase his game more.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and, you know, Hayward's having a borderline all-star season. I mean, somebody is going to vote for him. He's played really great.
He's great.
But it just clearly wasn't a good fit within what they were trying to do. It was kind of a doomed marriage from the start between injuries and just playing time and style. It was just
Brad's style definitely does not fit a shooter. You know, Hayward's more into, you know, interpreting the play and, you know, making his own shot as far as whenever he wants to, where Brad is isolation, cannot adapt to that offense or anything else. It's a very college rotational, you know, mix as far as what he does. That's not what Hayward's good for.
No,
most of the Celtics right now. So,
agreed.
Brad's not an offensive coach.
No,
unless it's a 5-8 point guard.
Yeah, so. Yeah, exactly. Having the most magical season of all time. So bench, there's technically five bench roles, and then two wild cards. I just have them all as bench or reserve or whatever. I'm not doing all wild card nonsense. I think that's stupid. Do you want to go through yours first?
My two bench guys? All right, so I'll give you my two East bench guards. I got Zach LaVine.
Yeah.
And then I have Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
I hate it, but his stats as far as an all-star level are there.
I know. I kept him out anyways because fuck him.
But, you know, so but my asterisk is, you know, Derrick Rose. So
I think
just Rose has proven it to be on that bench. He's been consistent for the last year and a half. He really should have made it a year and a half ago, but he didn't. I think he should get a nod just for that. I mean, honestly, the guards in the East are pretty underwhelming as far as it is. It's kind of pick your poison on what you want as far as what's left.
Yeah, I don't really have much in ways of guards. I kind of kept mine super positionless.
I usually do, you know, the reserves, I'll do a whole nother starter set. So three funk, two guards, and then two wild guards as far as whatever else you want.
Cool.
That's how I chose mine.
Yeah. And then just if you want to just lay out the rest of your reserves.
Your front court?
Yeah.
So then we have Julius Randle, Sabonis, and Bam.
I really thought about putting Randle in there, but I didn't. Sabonis I have in there too.
He's worked it this year. And then as far as my two wild cards, it was actually pretty tough. I gave you LaVine and I gave you Irving. And then my other two, I guess, would be my utility guys. So Derrick Rose and Durant.
So my bench is Ben Simmons, Giannis, Baby Sabonis, Chris Middleton, Jason Tatum, and then my two wild cards were Nikola Vucevic and Jeremy Grant.
Yeah, no, Jeremy Grant, I mean,
he's just on like one of the shittiest teams ever, but he really bet on himself and went to Detroit to kind of play with a lesser team and have a bigger role. And he's been fucking awesome. And he's been stellar on both ends of the floor, which I really appreciate that he's been playing defense.
How Denver picked Michael Porter Jr., who just blows over him.
I don't know if he blows. He's younger. He's not as good a defender. But I don't know. I think Jr. has some really, really great upside. I've seen some.
Well, and his contract's up this year too. Like, why wouldn't you keep going? Porter's more towards like your trade bait. I mean, are you going to really invest in this guy and re-up him? I don't know. I mean, here's a guy who couldn't even keep his shit together and had to sit out because of COVID because he was partying shit. So, you know, that's what this is a guy who didn't even play for a year. You would think he'd be super serious and hyper-focused into his game. He doesn't give a shit. So, yeah, I would have hired passed on him. I would have traded him real quick. But yeah, Jeremy Grant, I definitely, yeah, that dude earns it.
Yeah, I think so too. So just kind of going through some of my bench guys. So Chris Middleton, we touched on before. I mean, he's averaging 21 a game, which is there's like 40 dudes who are averaging 20 points or more this season, which is like the all time record. So 21 really isn't that spectacular, but he's been playmaking, rebounding. He's been playing excellent defense. He's had a very well rounded game.
I think the Simmons, NBA model this season is no defense.
It's insane. There's been no
defense
at all.
How many games go over 110, 120, 130, 140?
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
It's kind of like only the Lakers and the Clippers and Utah. They're kind of the only ones who play defense at all.
Yep.
Like at all, which is kind of wild. Yeah.
Which is good for later because that means they'll be burnt out from playing two ways.
I don't know. They just look great.
Well, the Lakers are in trouble right now. So,
Yeah, AD's hurt. He's going to be out for a little bit.
He's got Achilles problems.
Yeah, yeah. So they'll probably, it's probably just going to rest him. I wouldn't worry too much.
Yeah, but that means you're going to wear down LeBron if he's out.
I mean, they came out of the gates so hot and they're so far ahead right now that they can take their foot off the gas a little bit. I feel like, especially leading in. Say what?
They still have to pick up one more scorer, which they will. I mean, you know, it's LeBron, your chance to play with him. So somebody will shoot their way out of town somewhere to go play with LeBron for the ring run at the end of this season.
Yeah, so, potentially.
Probably Beal.
God, that would be so scary. Jesus.
LeBron. Like,
that's a wrap.
Anybody's in play.
Like that would just be a wrap. So with Ben Simmons, like typically I've snubbed him in the past with all-star votes because of his shooting limitations, and I just kind of find him unlikable for some reason.
He's a douche.
Yeah, I mean, he gives off douchey vibes. I don't know him personally. I can't label him as such, but he just gives the vibe of douche.
And he's cheap. Yeah. He's a dirty, dirty, dirty player, dude.
So, a dirty player?
He does a lot of cheap contact, cheap, you know, he doesn't play really clean either. He's not a guy who's afraid to, like, throw cheap shots.
Well, that I'm not, I don't know. Honestly, I kind
of... It just adds to his doucheness, you know.
Yeah, I don't typically...
I don't either. I'll find anything on him to nitpick.
Yeah, so... But, I mean, having said all of that, douchiness and the fact that he can't shoot really at all, you can make the argument that he's been the best individual defender all season. And offensively, he's still limited, but he's not forcing things the way he has in the past. It kind of seems like he's focusing more on defense and playmaking, doing off-ball screens and shit like that, which is leading to open shots for his teammates.
Well,
like, he still can't shoot. But I mean, his game this season has been so team first that I can't really knock him, you know.
But you know why though? The credit doesn't go to Simmons; it goes to Doc Rivers because he already had that player. Rajon Rondo. All he did was turn Simmons into Rondo and schemed him just like that. He literally just gave him the playbook that he used with Rondo.
Yeah,
make your layup, make your move. Don't shoot the fucking ball, pass it, and play tough defense.
Yep.
That's how he made Rondo an all-star look. You know, Rondo can't, you know, play offense for shit in his entire life.
Outside of passing and anymore.
He doesn't score. He does not score. He contributes to it, but he doesn't do it.
So with Vucevic and Sabonis, they kind of occupy the same space. Probably only Sabonis will make the reserves. I doubt Vooch will because he's just buried on that shitty Orlando team. Defensively, they're both somewhat limited for bigs, but they're just so fun to watch on the offensive end. Like they're both so technically sound and disruptive, and within 10 feet of the basket, they're basically unstoppable.
I was rooting for the Celtics to get Vucevic like 2 years ago.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
they could use him. He'd be a lot better suited than fucking Tristan Thompson.
I'll take Thompson on my bench. I don't want him in my starting, but I think Tice is already, he's done. He's hit the ceiling. I think he's still ass hurt about not getting traded to Brooklyn this past offseason when he wanted to. And I don't think he gives two shits what's Brad saying to him. So Tice is no. He's not that defensive person that you thought he was.
No, he really should be coming off the bench. I mean, if he's one of your backup big men, you're in a good position. But if he's doing the tip off for you, that's a little.
Yeah, I'll take Taco. Yeah, put in Robert Williams. You know, whatever. Give me Time Lord. Not that he's that great, but Tice doesn't give shit except fouls.
I would like to see Taco get some more minutes. You know, because everyone just seems to, it's like everyone kind of gets confused on the other team when he comes in.
He's just because of his rotation.
Yeah.
You know,
I'd like to see Taco get some more minutes. I really would.
I mean, you put Taco against a team that just shoots all day, you leave him on the floor as a shot blocker. Nobody else comes inside anyway. You know, you take him back to like that Rockets team of last year and just put Taco out there, friggin' rim protector.
Yeah.
That's all you do. That's what he's for.
And have him go up on his the balls of his feet and grab rebounds.
That's it.
So I feel like that was the whole East, right? Did you have anything to add to the East? Did you want to talk about one of your guys, or that's the East?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the East. I mean, the East has been kind of flat as far as, especially in the guards. It's all front
court. I mean, it kind of hasn't been. I'm just being petty, and I fucking hate Harden.
Well, Tyler Herro, I was hoping would make some type of move. I didn't pick Curry because I liked him. I was just like, you know.
Yeah, I know.
It was either Kyrie or Harden or Trae Young. I was like, Trae Young's not an all-star to me. Sexton's having a, you know, breakout, you know, decent season, but not an all-star.
No.
Westbrook, he's a piece of shit. He's not. his time has come and gone. I wish it never came. And then, you know, Fred VanVleet, he signed the big deal. He's had a good year, but not an all-star year.
Agreed.
You know, so the pickings were slim. Real slim pickings there.
Yep.
The West
is a lot. Yeah.
All
I feel like heavy. The Yeah.
In front quarter.
The West front quarter. Personally, I don't know how we'll go through it like this again. So for my West starters, we'll do the front court first.
Sure.
LeBron.
I mean, how can you say no?
Kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Jokic.
Of course.
Kawhi.
I went with George.
Yeah.
There was no real wrong answer there. They're interchangeable.
Yeah. I have George in my reserves bench.
Yeah, it's more, it's just personal preference. Either one of them. They're both having solid years. But I voted for George because the way he failed in the bubble. And I think he's really stepped it up and came back this year. I think he deserved the start, where Kawhi's just doing what's expected.
Yeah, so...
So I gave George... That's why I picked George over him for a start.
Yeah, I mean, in my personal opinion, it's like LeBron, Jokic, and Kawhi Leonard are basically all MVP candidates. So it's not really a... That's a no-brainer. And with just kind of the connection between George and Leonard, I mean, they're both basically having like their same old seasons offensively, defensively, rebounding, but both of them have improved their playmaking, which is kind of a like a tip of the cap to Ty Lue there taking over.
Oh yeah, absolutely. They don't have one in LA,
and then I mean
that's their biggest piece they're missing.
Yeah. LeBron and Jokic, I mean, you don't even really need to discuss it. It just kind of goes without saying that they're...
Yeah. It's only if you didn't pick one of them, we have problems.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
exactly. Yeah. And then my guards are super tough. So my first one is Steph Curry because he's just been insane. Like, he's flirting with 30 a game on 66 true shooting percentage, which is just like, holy fucking shit. And the last time anybody did anything like that was the year he was voted the unanimous MVP. So it's like,
I don't know. He's having a great year, but I just feel like he's just taking the shots, though. You know, not that he's not going to make them anyway. It's one of those things. It's hard to come down on Curry, but at the same time, you know, they are over 500. He is leading them. It is tough. I have him as a reserve, but I didn't start.
So I cannot for the life of me pull the trigger between Damian Lillard and Luka Doncic.
Those are my two starters.
Yeah.
But you got to go Luka, right?
So technically, yes, you have to go Luka because, I mean, really, for the most part, Dame is just scoring for the most part.
And he has a better team.
He does have a better team.
Yeah. And Luka's, you know,
and Luka's doing like fucking everything, even though they are losing, but they've had injuries and COVID and
they're still almost 500.
what are they like?
13 or 15.
13 and
15. They're not way off. And the Blazers are 16. You know, so it's not that big of a discrepancy. I mean, Portland has McCollum. They have a bench. They got Melo. You know, the Mavs have, you know, one-legged Porzingis and a bunch of shit bumps.
You know. Yes. That is a very apt description. A bunch of shit bumps.
Double, triple teams every night, and he's still putting up 40 and almost a triple double. And he's not playing ISO ball.
Really regretting. I think they're regretting the Josh Richardson, Seth Curry trade, because Richardson's been atrocious there. And I should know because I drafted him on my fantasy team.
I mean, you know, if I was Danny Ainge every day, though, I'd probably be still sticking, you know, razor blades in my arm because I could have had Lucas straight up for Jaylen Brown on draft day. That'll never sit.
Was that actually a possibility? I didn't know that was an option.
That the Dallas offered that.
Oh, my fucking
Danny
God.
Danny Ainge turned that down straight up for Jaylen Brown on draft day. Don't get me wrong. I love Jaylen Brown. But Luka Doncic is a transitional, generational player. So can you imagine Luka Doncic in the city of Boston?
Well, so like I've been talking about Luka Doncic since he was still in Europe and nobody knew who he was in America outside of like basketball nerds. And I've been the biggest Luka supporter probably of just anyone. But I had not heard that. I did not know that. I think
that is a fact. You can look at.
I think it might have been for the best that he didn't come to the Celtics because I might have had such an intense orgasm upon hearing that news. I might have had a stroke or something.
So you would have had Tatum, Luka, and Kyrie Irving, and Gordon Hayward.
But Tatum and Luka, like.
That's a championship team. You know, the funnier part is that Tatum's older than Luka.
Oh, God.
He's a year older than Luka.
Yeah, I know. Luka's a baby. He's been playing professionally since he was like 13 years old.
And he doesn't even try.
Yeah, he came into I don't know how he put on that much weight in that short offseason, but it looked like he was just eating nachos the entire offseason. Like he's
doing whatever
the
hell he wants, man. 46 points a game. Whatever he's doing, it's working.
Oh God. It's working. So we're pretty much the West is so much easier. So then for the reserves, I mean, we have our Curry Dame Lillard thing flipped, I
picked one.
Yeah.
they're both on then, the team. This is where you want them.
And then for the bench, I have Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert on the Jazz. I got Anthony Davis, Paul George, who we talked about before. So Rudy Gobert is probably the defensive player of the year again. So, I mean, I feel like he's been snubbed a couple of times.
He's dominant. He's the only reason Utah wins. You know, he's not, you know, overwhelming. You're not going to get wowed but
by his offensive stuff.
You never, but his defense is, you know, that's like Rodman, Bill Russell levels of defense.
Yeah, his defense is insane.
It's actually points. His defense is actually, you know, his scoring. It's not just locking down a defender. Yeah. But he plays all facets of defense every single night.
Yep. Anthony Davis, also kind of a duh. I mean, his offensive stats aren't what they've been, especially compared to the numbers he was putting up in the bubble. But he's still excellent on both ends, and you have to put him
consistent. He's consistent, and he plays both ends.
So for Mitchell, I gave Donovan Mitchell the second guard spot. I was kind of thinking, you know, I mean, Ja Morant, but he struggled a little bit after returning from an injury. And plus the West is super loaded. Morant might at least temporarily fall into that like Mike Conley fate for a little while of just being really good, but never being able to get an all-star nod because of how stacked the guard position is in the West.
Well, I think too, when Jaren Jackson comes back to Memphis,
mm-hmm.
they'll be much more exciting. So that'll open up a lot of offensive gameplay too for Morant.
Yeah, agreed. And then I also kind of flirted with the idea of De'Aaron Fox, who I really like a lot. And over the past 12 games, he's averaging like, you know, 28-9 or something like that. But that was only the last 12 games. And he doesn't really play defense at all yet. So I kind of...
He does, yeah. Him and Trae Young are almost the same. But I think Fox has a much more intensity.
Trae Young is probably the worst defensive player I've ever seen in my entire life. Like,
no,
ever.
Because you've watched Kyrie Irving and James Harden.
But he's in that tier of shit bumps. Even when Trae Young tries.
He doesn't even try, man. He does not
when,
even try.
Even when Trae Young tries. He is, I mean, it's like, a, you can go through him like a wet paper bag. Like, it's terrible. So I can't do that. I just can't.
On a side note, though, that is another great fact. Good for you, Atlanta, on draft day for trading Trae Young for Luka Doncic.
Yeah, that was...
Thank God, because Luka would have died in Atlanta. My God, what a shame.
Yeah.
Abysmal franchise.
Yeah, they've been pretty subpar for a while. I mean, they had that one kind of run where they had that 60.
Big Horford?
Yeah, with Horford and Millsap, but they were.
Well, that explains it, yeah. If that's your franchise, yeah.
My wild card. So SGA, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander from the Thunder. He's just been like, no one's watched him. They haven't played, a single nationally televised game. So no one's really seen him, but he's been one of the best two-way guards in the NBA. Averaging 22 points, 61 true shooting percentage, 7 assists or just shy of 7 assists. Great defense. Like, he's been.
Well, he learned from the master last year. So Chris Paul took him under his wing last year. You know, that is definitely going to be a big regret in the future for the Clippers.
I think
so too.
They might
look back on that one. Because that kid can play.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, once everyone else around him isn't so shitty.
Well, they got 26 draft picks. So they'll be better.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully. Hopefully they're able to make something happen, you know, before he wants to get the fuck out of there.
Yeah. I think they still got 2 years on him, but that kid has just developed in a huge way. I mean, him working with Chris Paul last year really blew him up and opened his eyes on the right way to play. So I think that was worth whatever the Thunder paid Chris Paul just to have him teach Alexander.
Yeah, no, totally. I 100% agree with that. So do you have any differences with me thus far for the West bench?
Because we flipped George and Kawhi. That was really the only other one. And then
Steph and Dame.
I got the Curry's on my bench. But I guess one of the only ones I really want to pick this guy is Christian Wood. I really think he deserves an all-star slot this year.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere on that Houston team. But again, I don't think he's played, you know, he's been hurt, but I think he's earned his spot, or at least a nod. It's far out where he's at. And then the guy who gets overlooked because he was so overhyped. I mean, Zion. Why does nobody talk about this guy?
He's a
2010 guy every night.
So but yes, they're wildly inconsistent as well. I think that the hiring of Van Gundy was a terrible decision.
It's New Orleans. They're going to blow team up this trading deadline anyway.
I feel like the Van Gundy thing was a terrible decision. They've been really, really inconsistent, which is why I left him off. Wood was another guy, but I mean, just comparing him to like Gobert and Davis and George and Alexander, like I couldn't
No, that's why he gets a nod more than that.
Yeah.
It's just to get some of that validation as far as where he took his game. But him and Zion are the only two. I mean, Wood obviously is, you know, that guy's story is incredible. He's worth to get where he is right now. So
it is.
I think for that guy, definitely gets a spot. I mean, Brandon Ingram, I'm not saluting that guy with any All-Star because he should already been better than that. And especially on the team that he's on now. Where he gets every open look, he should be playing at a much higher level than where he's at.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't know how much of that is. I've never been a Stan Van Gundy fan, and I was honestly really shocked when he got this opportunity again. But especially because there's such a young team.
Way too young for him. This is a Brad Stevens team.
Almost, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if they were a little older, a little younger, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they're going to lose Lonzo. Ingram's probably getting traded. Zion's going to be there. I see them moving Zion in some big piece way because the Pelicans, nobody wants to be there. They're going to sell high at this trade deadline. They already know Lonzo wouldn't re-sign. He's out, so he's getting shipped somewhere.
Yeah, J.J. Redick isn't even playing, and it's just a mess.
They're all checked out there. Yeah, nobody cares.
And I mean, you know, one of the
he's putting it up. He's doing it. He's lived up to the hype as that number one pick. As far as you know, he's delivered every night, every time he's played.
Yeah, I couldn't go. I mean, he's gonna get All Star nods later.
Oh no, pick him. I just wanted to. He's a guy who just
tip of the cap kind of deal. Yeah. Totally.
He's showing up on a shitty team that he doesn't have to. Nobody would even care. At this point, he's forgotten about.
I feel like, and again, this could be as simple as the coach involved. But like when you used to watch him play at Duke, he looked excited. Like it wasn't just that he was exciting and explosive and you know jumping like some sort of you know. Big cat in a National Geographic documentary. It was like he saw how much he loved
the game.
Like that enthusiasm and that passion was just like, it was fucking there. Like it was palpable. You saw it on him. And he just totally does not have that right now.
No, watching the Pelicans or you see any of those guys, it's like the Celtics. They're all just going through the motions.
Hmm.
The coach doesn't have either one of those teams.
I don't think so either.
No,
I don't think so either. So I had one last slot, my last wild card. It's my notes here are Devin Booker or Chris Paul. So it's Devin the Suns Booker. Backcourt. So here's the thing. And I went back and forth on this a million fucking times. So Booker scores more. Duh.
Well, yeah.
But Chris Paul has been the best player for Phoenix. He's averaging 17 and 8, and he runs that team. Like he sets the tone for the entire team on both ends of the floor. DeAndre Ayton, it's no surprise that he's having like his best season ever with Chris Paul.
He came back.
Yeah.
without the rugs.
We shall see.
Does he get caught again?
Yeah, who knows? But I mean, really, I think because of Chris Paul, now Phoenix is a dark horse contender because of it. And I give the nod to Chris just because he's doing more than just scoring. It's kind of the same defense for why I would go Luka over Dame Lillard.
But remember how Phoenix played in the bubble too. That was pre-Chris Paul.
Yeah, no. Bubble, which is all true. And the team is playing a radically different type of basketball now that Chris Paul is there. It's a lot slower.
That was their kryptonite.
Yeah, it's a lot slower.
Chucking and running.
It's half court. You know, it's much defense. Less transition. And I feel like he's got to get it. I got to go with Chris Paul.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to scream at that. I mean, Chris Paul is probably one of my favorite players there is. So he plays the game right.
He really does. He really does.
You know, except that, you know, one or two seasons where he was pissed off at Doc Rivers, but who doesn't?
And he was, in all sincerity, he was at some of his most entertaining when he was stomping around pissed off at that Clippers team. I kind of enjoyed it.
Playing Lob City, man.
Yeah.
Winging up there. The team that would have, could have, should have. How they didn't walk away with one, who knows?
Especially, I mean, God, it's so sad. And you know, looking at some of Jerami Grant's numbers in Detroit and everything, it's just so sad seeing what Blake Griffin has become.
Oh,
he's a corpse. He is a corpse.
He could barely move.
But he hasn't dunked in a year.
Daniel Tice couldn't guard him on Sunday.
Oh, God.
They sit him outside and let him shoot. And he's going to hit it every time you give him the ball. You know, Celtics didn't think they needed to guard him. I think he put like three right.
That's the second time Boston's lost to Detroit this year, which is just so unacceptable.
Well, and they kicked Brooklyn's ass, too.
Detroit's the majority of Detroit's wins have all come against the bigger teams.
Celtics play down.
Well, that is absolutely for fucking certain. They've been that way for a while. Well, and
they hustled. If you watch that Detroit game, you know, they hustled though. They never took their foot off the gas for 48 minutes.
Which you got to say is a testament to Dwayne Casey.
Great coaching though.
Making sure that these guys are like, you know, even though they're not exactly having success right now, they're still trying.
Isn't that what he did in Toronto?
Toronto was a much better team.
They played. They ran. Yeah. They always had energy. They played with intensity. But he got everybody to buy into that. You know, you're going to win games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it creates better morale when everybody wants to play.
Yeah. I think that wrapped us up for both lineups. Did you have anything else that you wanted to cover?
No. Was there any other players? Other than that dark horse Alex Caruso as far as All-Star voting.
Yo, he's so I toyed with that idea briefly because he really has played very well.
I know, yeah.
He really has. He's contributed to that Lakers team.
I mean, I wasn't going to give him a 3-year max deal.
I wasn't going to by any stretch of the imagination, like have him in the reserves, but as far as like, just kind of like a little bit of a nod. Cause I mean, you know, I think part of it is that it's just kind of like endearing that this goofy looking white boy with the receding hairline of like a fucking 55-year-old substitute teacher. Like it's just kind of fun
by LeBron.
Yeah. And he's playing solid minutes on, you know, the defending champions. It's heartwarming.
It is.
Go get him, Caruso.
How much does that make Lonzo Ball feel good? That LeBron chose Alex Caruso over you.
part of that is just fit. Lonzo can't shoot. Caruso can.
Right.
The thing that makes Lonzo a player.
His defense.
It just does not mesh at all with what LeBron does because LeBron needs to be the power guard, point forward, whatever you want to call him.
Whatever he feels like being. That day.
Whatever he feels like being. Yeah, basically.
He feels like being that day.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, it was fun kind of chatting about NBA All-Star game, potentially the most reckless All-Star game that we will ever see.
It's good.
It's going to be weird.
All the players are already saying they don't want no piece of it. You know, LeBron said, I'm not for it, but if you make me come, I'll show up. I think it's going to be an absolute travesty and a joke. There's going to be no heart into it. There barely is to begin with. As far as actual intensity, but it usually is a fun weekend.
Yeah.
You know, for NBA. So I don't think it's going to be fun. You know,
no, I think it's going to be weird.
I honestly think they should just skip it. Yeah, they should just skip it. And then if they, you know, the players' big thing was they want that 5 days off with their family, you know, because where they're sequestered. So if the NBA really does want it and you want to make your players happy, so have it at the central location, then either let the players, hey, if you play this All-Star game, we will give you another 5 days right after the game to go spend time with your families and everything else. Nobody's going to care if you hit pause in the season for an extra week to go spend time with their family. The players will love it. That's
unfortunately,
the only way to do it, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's just it's a cash grab. Like, they've just financially lost so much.
The networks just need it. The owners like need it.
Everyone does. The league, the whole league does. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch.
You know, the other big spot is, you know, what are the Celtics going to do to correct what they have going on?
God, I don't know.
I mean, Kemba, he's done.
Yeah.
Kemba's all done.
I mean, when they signed him, I was like, best case scenario, we get two healthy seasons out of him, but we haven't.
Oh, good attitude. We both like the signing. I don't hate Kemba Walker as a person.
But He's tiny. He's lost a step because of all of the knee injuries he's had.
Little guys
because of his size.
Can't
play defense. Like,
yeah. Getting burnt. This roster is just horrific. I mean, when the third best option on your team is Peyton Pritchard, you got major problems.
Major problems.
I mean, great for him stepping up, but still, he's not a solution. That was just kind of a nice thing that happened.
And I don't think there's like, I think they need like two things, you know,
new coach.
I'm not as high on Brad as I used to be. I thought he was going to be the guy for
a while.
I think
he plateaued.
I just kind of feel like they stopped listening to him.
Well, because everything he said, if you've seen them play, you know, you've watched them play enough in the last 6 years, Brad has never adapted every year. You know, he comes in, we get in the playoffs, we all get excited as fans. The team plays the exact same way in the playoffs every year. Oh, yeah, well, we're going to do this next year, you know, and get the same exact scenario every single year. Same exact rotations, same exact offensive schemes. He just plugs and plays. But unfortunately, those players can't do what's expected either. So it's awkward. Time for him to move along,
I believe. Yeah, I think so, too.
What are you going to get?
I mean,
it's a players' league, so it doesn't matter who the hell you get. To be honest with you,
I mean, to a certain degree, it does. Yes, but I mean,
not as
really,
much in other sports. It does a little bit.
I mean, the guy that I want is Monty Williams, who's the coach of the Phoenix Suns, but that's never going to happen.
Yeah, they're getting him now. They're winning.
No, but sure. You know, I think it would behoove us, the Celtics, to find, you know, that next young guy.
I think they need a veteran coach with these young guys that they can look up to and respect.
Yeah. I mean,
almost would have liked Doc Rivers back here as far as that type of mentality. No, like that type of guy, not Doc himself.
Just somebody like a player's coach, you mean?
Exactly.
Yeah. I hear that.
Tatum and
somebody
Brown,
who's done it. Somebody who's
He's been there, done that. And they look at Brad and they're like, "Yeah, okay, Brad, good for you, buddy.
Yeah,
you put up 12 in high school. You're the man. You know, move along." I think they need that type of presence.
I would like to have them. I would either like a young, you know, former player, not necessarily a star by any stretch of the imagination, but just like, you know, just throwing this out there just as a name, because I just
Penny Hardaway.
So Penny, but Big I Penny. Think he loves being in Memphis too much, and I don't think he's going to leave. Like that type of guy. Exactly. I was actually going to say Shane Battier, but like that type of dude who has the cred but wasn't necessarily a star, but is like, has been there and has credentials,
somebody like, with a new vision.
Yeah.
You know, Brad's just, Yeah, he keeps going to the same drawing board.
Yeah, that's his lack of adaptability has been very frustrating for me. And that was, never more so evident than that last postseason series against Miami, where he just did not change anything.
You can't play the zone, man.
I like, especially being a former college coach, you should be able to break a zone. You break zones in college. Like, I don't know.
It wasn't that complicated.
No, it really wasn't. Like, no knock against Miami. They were an outstanding series.
They played their balls off.
Jimmy Butler was incredible. Tyler Hero, a child, was playing out of his fucking mind.
Celtics didn't bring.
But yeah,
their coach let them down in that series.
I can.
Their coach let them down. You know.
So yeah.
And then if you're scheming for Grant Williams to take any type of real value shot, then you have problems.
They have
no shooters on this team besides Brown and Tatum. You know, Teague was a nice pickup. You know, hey, that.
But he's played so poorly. Teague's been so.
When they originally signed him.
Yeah.
I said, that's a nice. I didn't realize he's number six. I was like, get the fuck out of here. And then, everybody's clamoring for Smart to come back. He's not your offensive solution, friends. There's still, even if he's playing.
No, but at least he helps light a fire under somebody's ass,
Maybe. But how many times do we got to do that?
Yeah.
Right now to me, Smart is a chip to get somebody else.
I feel like two of the players who would do really well, PJ Tucker, I think would be a really nice fit.
Yeah, but now you're just clogging it up with another big slow dude who Brad doesn't know how to use. We need some dynamic guard play. They need somebody regardless.
Shooting more so. The other name I was going to throw out there was JJ Redick, who I think could be.
I think he's Jeff
Teague, get you buckets.
He's a much better shooter. But same role though, as far as how Brad would use him. They need somebody who's going to step in that strong lineup and deliver.
What is there any player in particular that you?
I want LaVine, but that's fantasy.
That might be tough. And I just LaVine has been having a really outstanding season scoring the ball, but he's just
I like his play style. I think it offsets. Man.
He makes a lot of bad fucking decisions on a regular basis that are just baffling to me. His shooting percentage is kind of belying the fact that they're not all smart shots.
But he's cheap. And I think he fits Brown and Tatum. That's the only. Yeah, I was just going with
he potentially could
can put up buckets.
Yeah. How old is he now? Because he's been in the league for a little while. Is he like 25, 26?
I think him and Jaylen Brown are same.
Is he the same age as Jaylen?
I'll tell you in 2 seconds. He's been there 6 years. Where the hell is that? 95. So, yeah, he's 26. He'll be 26 this year.
Okay.
So, there's a guy who hasn't even, begun. But there's your shooting guard right there.
Mm.
Interesting. A lot of upside with that guy.
Yeah. Potentially. He's been a somewhat frustrating player for multiple years now. But, who knows?
This could be. He was on Minnesota.
And Chicago hasn't been much better lately. So
right, as much as Brad would drive him nuts, he's somebody who could work with Brad as far as that scheme. So now you could afford to have Marcus Smart play point guard.
Because there wouldn't be the need for him to take a three-pointer with 18 seconds left on the shot clock.
You have three guys who could close a game right there.
Yep. No, that's true.
I hate to see them, blow up all this stuff for older or more experienced players. Not if you're going to keep Brad Stevens as your coach, because he's not going to work with them.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
You're better younger if you're Brad Stevens.
Yeah. That does seem to be.
I think he's available. That's why Lavine has one more year, and he can fit that trade exception. And Chicago's, I think, kind of, they're listening as far as, you know, all that NBA talk is out there. They're looking to move that team because they're not going to win with just Lavine. They have some other good players.
No.
They're not doing.
Markkanen's showing promise, but.
He's a dud. He's been so flashy. You know, he'll have the one every 15 games.
Yeah.
He's just not that guy.
That's why I said he's shown promise.
He's a good bench guy. You know.
But who knows? Again, maybe he'll get it together. The league is filled with late bloomers.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what I mean. 26, 27. That's where they all start to pop. And I think, you know, I think Chicago's ready to sell on Levine. Celtics are one of the few teams who could afford him.
Yeah, I typically never pay attention to the price tag stuff. So I honestly hadn't even considered him as an option.
Yeah. I mean, he makes a decent, you know, the Celtics have that 29 mil this year as far as for the trade exception. So,
yeah.
They give up Smart, Kemba.
Regardless, something's got to change. Something's got to change. I would prefer hanging on to Marcus because he's a scrappy dude who's going to make a winning play on a championship team someday. I just know.
Unless you're upgrading with him, yeah, keep him. But otherwise, you kind of got to sell high on him because in a year or two, I mean, he's still just that guy. You know, as far as what he is, but if you get a chance to get somebody who's going to give you 20, 25, potentially 40 on a night, you got to get rid of him.
Yeah.
You got to take it.
Yep, no, that's a totally fair point. But I mean, regardless of Celtics. Yeah.
He's a luxury on a championship team, not a necessity.
Yeah. Fair enough. Well, the Celtics got to do something, man. But this has been fun. We'll wrap this up here, put a little bow on it. Mr. Coleman, thank you so much for chatting basketball with me. I appreciate you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. Make sure you listen, rate, review, all of that good stuff. I'm Al Brown. We will talk to you next time. Peace out.